And please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our meditation this morning is on the epistle lesson from St. Paul's letter to Philippians chapter 3. I wonder how many times a day we get sidetracked and distracted, even by some of the most minuscule things, like a fly buzzing around your head when you're trying to focus on something, or loud music playing next door when you're trying to sleep. Probably more than we realize, these are just minor things or minor distractions that don't make too much a difference. Of course, unless you're looking at a text while driving your car, or when your spouse is trying to talk to you and you're off in another world, then distractions can be a serious thing. Distraction in our spiritual life is also a serious thing. When we wander away from God's word into sin, and sometimes it's the same sin that plagues us over and over again, we carry around a load of guilt and shame, or we get distracted with fear and worry. There's this constant nagging of dread and anxiety. Sometimes we don't even want to get up in the morning. And we also become distracted from God when our focus is on ourselves and on our accomplishments. When our pride says, I've got it all together. I'm in control of things. I can live the way I want. Nobody has to tell me how to live. And we end up ignoring God's word and fellowship with others and coming to his table for the forgiveness of sins. Maybe this has been your experience as it has been mine. We're all faced with distractions in life, whether the same besetting sin or struggle with a bad relationship, financial worries. Maybe you're facing a frightening moment, that moment just before going into surgery. And you know what? Distractions are one of the most effective tools the devil and the world around us uses to keep us, our focus away from Jesus and the work he's called us to do in his kingdom. It's very easy in our culture today to get sidelined from the kingdom of God. And you know what? The Saint Paul had his own battles with distraction. Yeah, I'm talking about the guy who wrote 14 books of the New Testament. In his letter to Romans, Paul is distracted by his own weakness. He knows what good things he ought to be doing, but he says, I'm doing the very opposite thing. The good I want to do, I don't do. But the evil I don't want to do, darn, that's what I end up doing. He feels that sin has a real grip on him. He feels like he's a prisoner of sin. Yeah, this is the Apostle Paul. It distracts him to no end and makes him feel miserable as he focuses on his own weakness. And he gets very distressed. Then there's the time he's distracted, what he calls in Corinthians, a thorn in the flesh. If this physical ailment really bothers him and prays that God would take it away. And how many of us are kind of like, I've got this physical ailment. I know myself, when I get up in the morning, the aches and pains are starting. And we're like, God, please take them away. And for a while, this problem takes all Paul's energy as he focuses on a prayer for a cure. And I think we can all relate to that. Things go wrong in our bodies. They can be terribly distracting. It absorbs our mind and energy and leaves little room for anything else. But God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And he says the same thing to you and to me. In our epistle reading this morning, Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. The church was established by Paul on his missionary travels. Philippi was a prosperous Roman colony linking the east and the west to the Roman Empire. And Paul is writing from prison in Rome. He's awaiting his appeal to Caesar for charges brought against him by the Jews in Acts chapter 25. Paul, being a Roman citizen, had the right to do that under Roman law. And Paul's actually under house arrest. It wasn't that bad of a deal. He could have friends come and go. He could write letters. And this is when he was writing to the church at Philippi. And he's writing to the church about his personal circumstances and how we can overcome the distractions in our life. And he's talking in chapter 3. We have that up on the screen. He says, although I in myself have confidence in the flesh, it's of no avail. Though I myself have reason for confidence, I am more circumcised on the 8th day. The people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, hey, I'm blameless. In other words, he was proud of his achievements and had no need to change anything in his life. He said, I did everything the law demands in order to please God. I don't think I need a Savior. He was distracted by his own pride and self-righteousness. But his conversion on the road to Damascus changed all that. Notice what he says in verse 7 through 9. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. He goes on, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing, and here's the key, knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, no, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. In other words, all my efforts and successes to earn God's favor were a distraction. So Paul is saying, no matter what my distractions, struggling with sin, or my successes, they're all rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. And you know, the Greek word for rubbish is human dung or waste. Paul is saying here, the most important thing is knowing Jesus. Do you know Jesus? And Paul's not talking merely about factual knowledge or theology, but a knowledge gained with the experience of having the presence of Christ in his life, his sins forgiven, an abundant life that transforms the entire person. Paul is talking about an intimate relationship by faith in the living God. Wow, that's pretty cool. Well, how do we experience knowing Christ? We experience that relationship here in worship. When we hear his word of forgiveness and life, we experience that relationship as we come together to the Lord's table to let him feed us with the presence, his presence and blessings. We experience that relationship when we fellowship with one another, encouraging each other in faith, growing together as the body of Christ. We experience that relationship by spending our own time in prayer and in scripture. We also experience that relationship by showing others the same kind of love that Christ has shown you when you give a helping hand to someone in need or be a listening ear to someone who's hurting. We experience that relationship knowing that we have the righteousness of Christ given to us every day. Every day. It's not your righteousness, it's his. And this is the experience that helps us deal with the distractions in life. But see, Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on to say in verse 12 to 14, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. But notice, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider what I have that I made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. So he's focused because Christ's righteousness is given to him. He can now forget what lies behind. That's a tough thing to do, isn't it? How many of us get distracted from the past? You dwell on your past failures, broken relationships, hurts and pain. Paul says, I leave it all behind because I know Christ. And he gives me the strength to let things go and press on to better things. Our prize is the upward call of God in Christ. Let Jesus take care of your past. You know, the writer in Hebrews 12 says, let us also lay aside every weight, distraction, sin, which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and protector of our faith. How do I do that amidst all the distractions? By looking to Jesus in faith, the author and finisher of your faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. He will bring it, has begun a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul often uses the image of an athlete running a race, pressing on toward the ultimate goal of winning the prize, getting to the finish line and winning the victor's crown. The Christian life is like that. It's like, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon race. We stumble, we fall, but God picks us up again and gives us his righteousness. And we keep on going. Paul is saying that the hope and strength our risen Lord gives us enables us to look up, to continue the race, to press on when we are downhearted and disappointed in all the distractions in life. He gives us the courage to work through our distraction and inspires us to love him more and care for others. Again, it's all about knowing Jesus. So brothers and sisters, know this morning. God himself is the one who restores us to himself. You know what the biggest distraction was? That Jesus allowed himself to be lost from the presence of God, to be forsaken from the Father in order to take our sin upon himself so that we could be restored by him, that we could know him and the power of his resurrection. Jesus let his relationship from the Father be distracted as he hung abandoned on a cross so that our relationship with God could be restored and that we could count everything as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing and experiencing the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I say to you this morning, nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ as Lord. So let us forget what lies behind and press on in faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.